First chapter, 1 Corinthians. You hear that good singing? That's good. No, nothing to be sorry about. Yes, out of the mouth of babes shall come the praise unto our Lord. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, starting at verse 17, reading down through and including verse 25. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And stop reading there in verse 25. And this morning I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, "The Importance of Preaching." The importance of preaching. Not because I'm a preacher, but because it has been ordained since the beginning of time. God was the original preacher. When he told Adam and Eve, he gave them a message. You are here in this garden and you can partake of any tree that's here, except for that tree of knowledge. Stay away from that tree, because the day that you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be open. He gave them a message to stay away. Today, preachers that are God called are still trying to tell people what to stay away from according to the Word of God. Preaching is important because it gives us an introduction to God. Gives us an introduction to Him. How would we ever have known Him if nobody ever introduced us to Him? It would just been a name that we may have heard, but we really would not be acquainted with Him had not somebody gave us an introduction. And even though that we read the Bible and you had the Bible and maybe went to Sunday school, you really never had an introduction until the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ came through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that passed by your heart and your life and made you realize that there was a God in heaven above. Gave you an introduction to the most important person to ever come into your life. I have never personally met kings and potentates, never met presidents or any other royalty or people that's in high places, but I had an introduction to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. An introduction that I'll never forget. Not because Mom and Dad introduced me to Him, and certainly they took us to church, but it was by the preaching of the gospel that an introduction came by my house, my heart, my soul, and gave me an introduction to the greatest man you could ever know. Gave me an introduction to one who said, I love you more than mom and dad, brother or sister. An introduction to a man that could do more for me than any other man upon the face of the earth. An introduction to a man that said, while others may come and go in your life, I will be there today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Oh, ain't that good? An introduction that said, I'll rejoice with you when you're happy, and I will share your sorrow when you're sad. An introduction that let me know that I'll never have to walk alone on this side of the river. And when I face the biggest battle that I'll ever face, and I believe this today is when we're drawing our last breath. Brother Larry Jones, that's a big battle that we're going to have to fight because we've never crossed that bridge before. But Jesus told us through this introduction, I'll be there with you to guide you safe forth. Isn't that wonderful? I'm thankful somebody loved me enough to take us to a church that would provide us with an introduction to a man called God, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that would come into our life and change us from the inside out. Make us new. An introduction, as Paul was saying here, that I didn't come to baptize you, but I come to preach the gospel. Because he didn't want anybody to get hung up on who had baptized them, that Paul had baptized me, because you remember there was division already. Some say they were of Christ, some said they were of Apollos, some said they were of Paul. Folks, it's not the preacher, it's the introduction that comes through and by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that ought to be lifted up. You and I are just mortals. But praise God, I was introduced to one that was immortal. And he lives today, he lives tomorrow, and he will be alive for all eternity. The preaching of the gospel, he said, to them that perish, it is foolishness. Some of us have had times where people made fun of us because we believed in old-time preaching. Let me correct us today. We ought not ever be embarrassed about the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. We ought never be embarrassed about the preaching of the empty tomb. We ought never be embarrassed about the preaching that Jesus is coming soon to gather his children and take them out of this world. We ought not be embarrassed about the thing that gave us the most in life. It wasn't the job, the career. It was God who gave us the most in life. The preaching is still important because it teaches us. You remember Christ told his apostles to go out and to teach and to preach and to heal all manner of sicknesses. You say, can you heal us today? No, I personally cannot, Brother Lloyd. But I know a man who can. I know a man who can. He gives us the authority to teach his word. Preaching is important because without the teaching, how can we learn? I feel sorry for these kids today that are learning remotely because they don't have a teacher that's really teaching them. Today, we need to be taught about God. about his church and about the afterlife. In many of our places across the land today, they've stopped teaching about the Lord and started teaching this self religion that is going on. That you and I are gods ourselves, and we can make a decision on what's right and what's wrong. How many of us today know that if we hadn't been taught what was right or wrong, we would be in bad shape? We received teaching at home from mom and dad, and when we did wrong, there was a consequence to it. How many of you have ever had a belt or a switch or a horse whip laid to you? And people say, that's abuse. I'm glad mom and dad taught us what was right and what was wrong and taught us what it meant to break the law. You know what teaching does today from the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It teaches us what pleases God and what displeases God. And for every action, there is a reaction. When we do good, I believe God will smile upon us and reward us. I'm in a Baptist church, but I believe God rewards us along this journey. How many of you got more today than you've ever had? You know why? Because God has rewarded us. He rewarded me this morning by waking me up. He rewarded me this past week. I said on Wednesday night, I feel like God has answered more prayers for me recently than anybody else. I said on Wednesday night, I believe it was, I've had three prayers answered. And I say, thank you, God, that I was taught, whenever you have a need, bring it to me. Oh, hallelujah. Bring it to me and cast it upon me, and I will be your burden bearer. You see, we need to be taught that what pleases God and what displeases God, and we need to be taught what is sin by the preaching of the gospel. Not Roger's interpretation of what sin is, but what God says about it. You say, well, we have the Ten Commandments over here. There's more to the law than just the Ten Commandments. And it you could keep the Ten Commandments and still die and go to hell because you've not been taught that you must be born again. You see, we need to be taught what's right and what's wrong. And then once we're taught it, we need to live by it. And the preaching of the gospel, you know, we need to be reminded. Sometimes, how many of us today need to be reminded about what God's word says about our life, about our situation, and about the shape that the world is in today? Many people, Brother Lloyd, aren't looking for the Lord to come because they've not been taught that he's coming again. How many of you know he's coming again? You don't say, I know that because Roger taught it to me. No, you say it was taught by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'll go away, but I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The preaching of the gospel cleanses us. No doubt, yesterday was Saturday. Many of you took a shower or a bath. Some of you didn't grow up like we did. You cleaned up as best as you could this morning to come out to the house of God. But you know what the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ does? It cleanses us on the inside from all of the things that the sins of admission and the sins of omission that we have in our life. You say, oh, I haven't done anything bad this week. What haven't you done this week? The preaching of the gospel gets down to cleanse us because of all unrighteousness, because we're in a world that is full of sin. How many of you sometimes feel like you just got all kinds of filth upon you because you've been around sin? You walk through sin. You shop at sin. People say, where do we shop at sin? How many of you go to Kroger's? Do you know they've got sin in there? Yeah. How many of you stop at these little stores along the road? They've got sin in there. You know, the government cannot legislate right from wrong. In fact, there's a lot of things that the government says is okay, but God says it's not. And we need to be cleansed. Otherwise, we start thinking like the world. We start talking like the world. And we start acting like the world. We need to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. I love this example. We're like the prodigal son that went into a far country. When he came back, some of you, just stick with me for a minute. When he came back, he still had the evidence on him of where he had been at. I use this example. He still had mud between his toes. Thank you, brother. It was there because on his journey back, we can't get rid of all the sin that encompasses us as just because we went to church. We need some old-time preaching to get down to where we live at, to cleanse us. Lord, help me with this dirt that I've got on. Yesterday I was roofing, and I took a shower last night, and after I got out of the shower, I noticed that on my arm, I still had a dark spot. And you say, didn't you use soap? And the answer is yes, but it was tar. Regular soap wouldn't take it off. I had to get out some high-powered fingernail polish remover with a Q-tip to get it off of there. See, you can read the Bible, and it will take off some of the sin that you got on you, but for a good cleansing, you need somebody to get behind a pulpit and preach you the power that is in Jesus Christ so that you can be thoroughly cleansed. And once you're cleansed on the inside, it'll clean up the outside. We need good old-time preaching, as he said here in his word, that we need it to remind us along this journey. The journey gets hard. Many of you and many of us today are experiencing hard times like never before. And it's not just physical. We heard this on Wednesday night, and I believe it's true with all of my heart. We're going through times it mentally like we've never done. We wear these masks, you can't breathe. I can't see because my glasses fog up. It feels like that we're in jail. Somebody say amen. Feels like we're a prisoner. But then when we take it off, it's so refreshing. Isn't that the way preaching is? When it's anointed with the Holy Spirit, it comes by our way, and we're lifted up, and we're like the bird that was set free that Satan had a hold of us. You know, he can't kill us, but what he can do, he can grab hold of our legs and keep us from flying. You can flap your wings all you want. You're not going anywhere. We need gospel preaching to remind us about God and all that he has done. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There goes Darwin's theory out the window. In the beginning, God made man and woman. We need to be reminded. It doesn't matter what the government says or what the Pope says. It matters what God says. You know why we got so many boys that think they're girls and girls that think they're boys? Because they have not been taught what the Word of God says. You want to know what you are? Check your plumbing. You say, Roger, you're blunt on a Sunday morning. It's true. Amen. I know what I am. And I know what I am by the grace of God. We need to be reminded of all that God has done for us. When I was in the lowest valley, God reached way down below the bottom and pulled me out of that pit of sin and destruction, set my feet upon a solid rock, and established my going. We need to be reminded it was God that healed us from that sickness. We need to be reminded that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And no matter what we're facing, think back about what God has done for you in the past. Did he not heal you from cancer? Amen. Did he not heal you from cancer as I look over this church house? Did he not heal us from those diseases that Satan brought against us, but God stopped it before it took over our bodies? We need to be reminded of all that he has done. We were just a little things today. How many of you remember when the kids started driving and you would go to bed and they wasn't home and you'd hear the car pull in the driveway? Oh, some of you are going to help me preach this morning. We need to be reminded it wasn't by luck or coincidence that they made it home, but it was because God was watching over them. He dispatched his angels and he protected them when the devil would like to destroy them. We need to be reminded about the great plan of salvation. It's not by my works or by my deeds that I get to go to heaven, but it's because on a hill called Calvary, Jesus died for my sins. But it wasn't an afterthought. God had foreordained from the beginning of the world. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse, he told Satan, there is one that's coming. You shall bruise his heel, but he shall destroy you. He shall, and I don't want to use the word annihilate, but he will destroy you. He's coming. You say, how did he really come? You better read the Bible again and be taught. Not only did Jesus come, some are still looking for the Messiah to come. Can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? He's already been here, paid our sin debt, and arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we need preaching to remind us he has done more for us than anybody else in this world. We need to be reminded that we're saved. How many of you know you're saved? How many of you like me, sometimes Satan will come after you and try his best to tear you down? There's been times that he's come and said, you didn't get what you thought you got on the altar. Anybody else, Satan done that too? And when I think he's got me to the point to where I believe him, then God takes my mind back to that little storefront church on a Saturday night when I knelt down at an altar and I cried out for forgiveness, and God come into my life, cast out that strong man, and set up a new abode in my heart and in my life. I need to be reminded sometimes that I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved to the uttermost. No matter what Satan may do or say. I said earlier, he'll tell me that I'm a failure and I have to agree with him. He'll tell me that there's other things that I could have done in life and maybe been more successful, and I have to agree with him. But when he tells me I'm still lost and undone, I say, that's where you have to stop, because I was there when it happened. And I ought to know what happened, Brother Emerson, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. We still need old time preaching because of its importance. People say it's not important anymore. Let's get a praise team. Let's get a worship team. Let's get some other programs together, and we can do without the preaching. We can minimize the message and give more time to the singers and to the presentations and to the programs. Singing did not save me. A program did not save me. What saved me was the preaching of the cross. In fact, and I know we don't have that problem here, but I've been at some churches, and what they do is that they give about 45 minutes to the singers to sing and put on a program, and about 15 minutes for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that here we know how to follow the Spirit of God. When it lays a song upon our heart, we ought to sing it. And when he says that's enough singing, we ought to sit down and let the preacher take control and preach the gospel that will save our people. You say, you think you preachers need all the time. I say, the preacher needs the time. It's important because it prepares us for life after death. How many of you know you're going to die? How many of you are ready to die? You see, I don't want to go today. I got plans, dear Lord. But if he calls, it cancels all my plans. Cancels them all. It prepares us for life after death. So many people are living like they're going to live forever on this world. They're never going to die. But I use this example. Sister Kathy's here with us today. Not too awfully long ago, her daddy, Brother Bill, got the call and went on to be with the Lord. Many of you were here at the funeral service, and many of you went out to the cemetery afterwards. And this blessed my heart. Brother Bill was a good man. He was prepared for life after death. But what really struck me there in the cemetery, Brother Bill's on this side of the road, and he got his little marker. And across the road, almost perpendicular to Brother Bill's marker, is one of the richest men of Cincinnati that died just before Bill did. And some of you know his name, but right now it's left my memory. Carl Lidner, thank you. The rich and the poor, all are going to leave this world. I don't know about Carl Lidner's soul, but I know about Brother Bill's. Brother Bill was prepared for life after death. One side of the road, a rich man. On the other side of the road, just an everyday Joe that worked tooth and nail to make a living for his family. Some of you remember years ago I preached a message about the rich man and the poor man, how the world looked at him and said, he's rich and he's poor. But when it come time to die, oh, hallelujah. That poor man that sat at the gate, they thought was poor, didn't have anything, probably thought he'd be better off if he died. He was rich because he knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. See, it's not your status on this side of the river. It's your status on the other side of the river. Preaching reminds us of that. The Bible mentions many great preachers. Did you know Noah was a preacher? You say, all Noah preached was, it's going to rain. Could you imagine being in a church every Sunday and the message is, it's going to rain? Some of you would look at me and say, Roger, it hasn't, like they did Noah. It's never rained with water coming down from the cloud. It's always been a mist coming up from the earth. What are you preaching? It's going to rain. Sometimes I feel that's how people look at us when we say, Jesus is coming back. They look at us like, you've lost your marbles. When we preach with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, people look at us and say, why do you get so emotional about it? Because life is hanging in the balance. Souls are weighed and found wanting. And there's nothing to equal the balance out except for the preaching of the gospel, that people will believe in the blood of the Lamb to wash away all their sins. Solomon was a great preacher. Some of you say, Solomon was a preacher? Go to Solomon, the first chapter, or Ecclesiastes, the first chapter. Some of you started to go to Solomon. You know, that's why we need to be taught. There are some people that you could tell them to go to a certain book in the Bible, and they'd open their Bible and start looking for it because they don't know the difference. How many of you know the difference? Do you know all 66 books in the Bible? You say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Have you not been told, study and learn? You say, Roger, move on. Isaiah was a great preacher. Jonah was a great preacher. You say, didn't he fail God? Is there one amongst us that hasn't failed God? God says, go one place and we go somewhere else. I looked out this morning as we was driving to church and some was taking their boats out. Some was working, cutting firewood. People find all kinds of things to do on Sunday except do what the Word of God says. Fail not the assembling of yourself together in the house of the Lord. You say, preachers use that so they can fill the house up. I'd rather have 10 souls that know about God than I had to have the greatest cathedral that people don't want to hear what we have to preach about. John the Baptist was a great preacher. I come preaching repentance through baptism. But there is one who cometh after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bow down. He shall baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm trying to find a closing place, deacons. It's wonderful to be taught that once you get saved, you're going to get something on the inside of you that you're going to experience like you've never experienced it before. You know what the sad thing is? It takes many of us a long time to realize what God gave us and what He's doing in us. Paul was a great preacher. Some would argue that Paul was the greatest preacher to ever live. And I say Paul was a great preacher. But I say that there was one even greater than Paul. He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The preacher of all preachers. You say, I didn't know Jesus was a preacher. I thought he was just a healer or a good prophet. No, he was a preacher. Because you remember, as Robin Sharon gave us a song of invitation, let me remind you of this. When John sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the real, if he's the one, he said, you take back word to John. The blind receive their sight. The deaf hear and the lame walk. But the poor have the gospel preached to them. Who was doing the preaching? The one who came to be the Redeemer of all mankind. And since every one of us, since that day, every one of us has been called to preach, Brother Lloyd, we've tried to model ourselves and preach what God gives to us. Not what the congregation may want to hear. How many of you want to hear you look good? How many of you want to hear that keep doing what you're doing and you'll be all right? How many of you want to hear God will look at you and say you tried your best and that's all that matters? Or how many of you would rather have a preacher get up and preach you the word of God that will separate the sheep from the wolves? It'll show you that it may sound foolish to the world. The Jews may not like it. The Greeks may not like it. But God says there is power in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that power is deliverance from sin and all unrighteousness. Because we go astray. You know, we go astray. If we're not careful, without good sound preaching, you say, Roger, we already told you we appreciate you. It's not my message, it's God's message. Without good sound preaching, we would stray. We would stray. We would start to take on the filth of the world. You know, and some of you are strong, but some of you are weak. And you know what? The preaching is so important to try to make the weak ones strong. There are some of you today that no temptation can draw you away from God. There are some that even the slightest of temptation catches your eye. And I'll say this. Not everything that catches your eye is sin. I didn't get one amen. Because we all look at sin. It's not what you see. I was singing a song this morning in my mind as I had to run an errand early this morning and I was singing. And I don't even know the song. But some of y'all will. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? And I'm sure that there's another part of that, but I couldn't remember it. Be careful, little... Wait a minute. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, big mouth, what you say. Right? Because if we get too close to it, if we're not careful, we'll partake of it. That's why we need good sound preaching. Amen? And even as sound as we are privileged to have here at Mount Carmel, it still could be more powerful. And you know what makes the preaching of the gospel more powerful? It's when everybody comes together and says, preach it, preacher. I'm guilty, but go ahead and preach it. I've done wrong, but go ahead and preach it. I'm a little away from God, but go ahead and preach it. I did something this week I shouldn't have done, but go ahead and preach it. Or some of you say, I know that they did something wrong, and you need to preach it. Right? No. They'll have to answer for that. I've never appreciated when preachers use the pulpit to try to preach about something they know about something going on in somebody's life. Find out something on you, Emerson, and find a scripture where they can preach about it. That's not the gospel. The gospel is when a preacher preaches and people look at each other or you look in your heart and you say, how did he know I did that? He didn't. God did. And you just told on yourself. Amen. You know, while we stand and sing a verse of a song, we need. In fact, preaching is more important today than it's ever been, because sin is more rampant than it's ever been. I ask you to follow your heart this morning and ask God in your own heart and soul, Lord, have I followed the gospel that's being preached? Or have I strayed? And some of us would have to say, Lord, do I really appreciate the preaching of the gospel? Or do I take advantage of it? I said this many years ago, and I'll close with this final thought. There will come a day, if America keeps going the way she is now, that preaching, like you experienced here at Mount Carmel, will be a thing of the past. It's already fading away. It's fading away. There's not many that are still looking for old time Bible teaching and preaching. They don't want, as I said a few months ago, they don't want to hear about fire and brimstone. Noah says it's going to rain. God says, preachers, you better tell them it's going to rain again. But it won't be water. It'll be fire and brimstone. You better tell them to get ready. And just your words won't do it, but use my words. My words will get the work done. Today is a very important time in the history of the church. It's a very important time that while we're here, Brother Lloyd, I pointed him and myself, I believe that we'll stand upon this word until God takes us home. What worries me is what's coming behind. What's going to fill the void? And will our people turn to a itching ear that needs to be tickled? And I'll tell you this, and I'll close. Y'all look good this morning. You don't have to go to another church to hear you look good. Men, am I right? Women, am I right? Some of you say, I don't know. I'm afraid to say. You look good this morning. One of the brothers told Sister Joan that she was looking awful sharp today, all dressed up. People say, oh, you can't say that. That's a sister. That's a woman. That's my sister. Be careful what you say about her. Amen. How many of you remember Sunday week? We're all one part of the body of Christ. I can say it if I want to. Just don't go out in the world and say it, because that's not your family. Amen. We need the preaching of the gospel like never before. Sing a song, Rob. Do you follow your heart? Have you taken it for granted? Have you not listened to it? Or have you ever thought, why do we need it? Why is it so important? It's important because we're all in a sin-filled world. Sin-filled world. Amen and amen. See, the preaching is so important. Because I'm in a workplace. How many of you in workplaces where you hear foul language all the time? People just using all kinds of ungodly language. TV sets. The language they use on TV and radio. I was listening to 700 WLW the other day, and they came off some language on the internet. I thought, my goodness, I had to turn it off. They can say anything they want. Pretty much, FCC don't care anymore. But you let a preacher get on there and condemn homosexuality, condemn abortion, condemn shacking up. For those young folk don't know what that means, living together. Bible didn't institute living together. It instituted marriage. Amen? You say, well, we wouldn't taught that. I'm looking at a church that was taught it. People say, I wasn't taught. I said that about Kroger. They're probably one of the biggest retailers of alcohol that there is in tri-state. You say, now, Roger, there's nothing wrong with a good drink every once in a while. Larry Jones said this about me years ago. I'm still trying to put this together. But he said he's a pretty good preacher when he's not drunk. Or when he's sober. There we go, when he's sober. You remember that? I remember it. And see, that doesn't mean that I drink, but some people would take that and turn it around. Right? Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever there is deceived is not wise. Right? Says to abstain, church covenant, abstain from all alcoholic beverages. You say, can I have just a little sip every once in a while? Because Paul said a little wine's good for the stomach. Right? The question is, what's a little? And the other question is, was it fermented or non-fermented? Right? You say, Roger, you will never see a mega church preaching like that. And you know what I say? If I have to deviate from the word, I don't want it. Amen? I'd rather have what God has given to us. Let me close this final thought. You better appreciate what God's given to you. In all aspects of your life, you better appreciate it. Because He might just take it away from you. Amen. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? Rainy, dreary Sunday morning. It's been a good place to be. And I, again, from the depths of my heart, I thank Mount Carmel for allowing me to be a part of you. And I say that in all sincerity. I'm nobody special. The deacons keep me humble. I'm nobody special. But I am a born-again child of God that loves the Lord, loves His church, and loves my brothers and sisters that God has placed here. I'll talk to him after church. God bless you. Have a great week. Come out Wednesday night now. You've been taught. Come out Wednesday night. Be with us in the service.